The Gene Factor by Eric Saywood, with Terry Molloy as Bill and Rosalind Adams as Jenny. The Gene Factor.
Joan was quizzical, studied metaphysical science in the home. Late nights all alone with a test tube, oh, ah, oh, oh. Maxwell Edison, majoring in medicine, calls her on the phone. Can I take you out to the pictures, Joe? Oh, ho, ho. But as she's getting ready to go, a knock comes on the door. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer came down on her head. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer made sure that she was dead. Back in school again, Maxwell played a fool again. Teacher gets annoyed, wishing to avoid an unpleasant scene.
Would you like to give something to the musician?
She tells Max to say when the class has gone away.
Would you like to give something to the musician?
Writing 50 times a must.
Would you like to give something? Oh! Where are you going?
I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. Here, have this as an apology. The musician is very good.
Thank you.
That's a few best old.
Maxwell silver hand came down on her head. Bang, bang, Maxwell silver hand.
You were in a very nostalgic mood this evening.
I was, wouldn't I? Is there anything to drink?
There should be some beer in the fridge.
Well, my trouble is that I'm still spiritually rooted in the 60s, you know? In a way, I'm musically retarded. No, more like time-locked. Yeah, have some beer.
The Q's don't seem to mind.
Yeah, well, that's because they remember it the first time round. It has memories for them. Cheers.
Cheers.
There's some good stuff written then, you know. Had a consciousness that you don't get today. Perhaps I'm just getting old.
No, not you. You'll be a little boy forever.
You think it's wrong to look back?
It's not wrong to remember.
No. Whenever I see some of the original Teds, middle-aged, beard belly hanging over their trousers, sideburns going grey, the old quiff a mere shadow of its former glory, makes me sad in a way.
Why?
Well, do they keep the uniform out of some sort of allegiance to an idea, or just because they're time-locked as well?
You are not time-locked, and neither are they, I would think.
Your mother reckons I'm an irresponsible, middle-aged hippie.
That's nothing to go by. She's the sort of person who'd consider Jesus Christ a bit feckless.
Yeah, it's true. Don't you think I should settle down and get a proper job?
You've got a proper job.
Oh, yeah, busking.
Being a street musician. And what's more, you're good at it.
Well, let's say we make ends meet sometimes. Oh, I don't know, Jen. I'm 38. I think I'm getting too old for this game.
Oh, shut up. Drink your beer while I count the takings. You know you're not past it.
What about something to eat?
Don't think there is very much.
Oh, I'm hungry. Shall I get a takeaway?
I'll let you know if you can afford it. Hang on. Hey, look at this.
Oh, not more foreign coins.
No, far from it. Someone's put a £20 note in the bag.
You're joking.
Look.
Bloody hell.
No, I told you were good.
Oh, must be a mistake.
It isn't. There's a card. Look.
I see. I can implore you. Come and see me tomorrow morning. Bring this card with you.
Who is it from?
Roger Wise.
Do you know him?
No.
What was the name of that record producer you met once?
Oh, that isn't him. His name was Graham Vice.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the guy who gave you this?
No.
Oh, wonder why he didn't introduce himself.
Perhaps he likes mystery.
Well, at £20 an intrigue, I'm prepared to play along for a while.
You're going to see him, then?
Why not?
One more floor.
I've got to give up smoking.
I thought you'd be running up the stairs three at a time.
When I get a high off a cardiac arrest.
You spent 4 hours and about 20 cans of beer speculating on who your benefactor might be. About 4 o'clock this morning, you decided that Roger Wise must be at least a Cecil B. DeMille of folk music.
Yeah, well, that was beer laced with fantasy.
in the cold light of a hangover or a tatty block of flats, I've radically revised my opinion. I mean, for a start, look at the state of this staircase. There's no way a spaced-out record producer's waiting for us on the next floor.
Well, at least this bloke's offering you work. A chance to perform indoors, if nothing else.
Yeah, true.
And with £20 inducement to get you here, it can't be that hard up.
Look, give us a minute before you ring the bell. I can't go in like this.
Are you all right?
Yes, it's just a bit of breathlessness. That's better. Right. You can announce me now.
Yes?
Oh. I think we must have come to the wrong flat.
Which flat did you want?
Well, I thought it was this one.
We're looking for Roger Wise.
You have the right flat, madam.
Well, if we've called at an inconvenient time...
I think you'd better come in.
Who is it, Sergeant?
Two people to see Mr. Wise, sir.
It's having me.
You heard the Chief Inspector...
Bloody hell. What's happened here?
Take them into the bedroom. I'll be with you in a minute.
Sir, this way.
What's all this about?
We don't know Roger Wise. We're not his friends.
In here, please.
But what's happened to this place? Looks as though a bulldozer's been through
it. I must ask you not to touch anything.
Well, there's nothing left to touch.
Thank you, Sergeant.
Right, sir.
I'm sorry about this.
What's going on here?
I think it would be better if I ask the questions, sir. That way we'll get things sorted out much more quickly. Now... The gentleman in the doorway is Sergeant Carter. I am Detective Chief Inspector Moore. And you are, sir?
Well, Bill Spender.
Madam?
Jenny Marsh.
How long have you known Roger Wise?
Well, we don't. In fact, we never met him.
Sir?
Let me explain. Last night, Roger Wise gave me his card. Look. There you are. As you see, he asked us to come along this morning.
I can implore you. Well, what do you do?
We're street musicians.
Well, we thought he wanted us for a gig or a party.
Yeah. What did he say when he gave you his card?
Say? Nothing.
Nothing?
Oh, I didn't realise he'd given it me until we got home, and I found it in the collecting bag.
You usually turn up like this when somebody drops his business card into your bag without introducing himself?
When there's a chance of work, yes.
Look, why don't you ask him yourself? He'll confirm everything.
If I could talk to him, I wouldn't need to be here, sir.
Well, where is he?
Floating in his own bath. He's been murdered.
Bloody hell.
You don't think we had anything to do with it?
Well, I don't know yet.
For crying out loud, we didn't even know the man. Well, we'd never met him before. I mean, the card proves that.
Does it?
Well, of course it does.
You could have been given that card at any time. It isn't dated.
Well, we weren't. We were given it last night.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it's all right. Let's say I accept that for the time being. Where were you when he gave you his card?
It must have been Leicester Square. It was the only place we worked last night.
Carter!
Sir?
You got that photograph we found of Mr. Wise?
Yes, sir.
Now, do you recognise that man?
Yes. He was the bloke who bumped into me.
Oh. And what time was that?
I don't know. About 8:30.
What sort of state was he in?
What do you mean?
Well, did he seem at all agitated?
I don't really know. I was collecting from the queue. I stepped back for some reason and he walked into me. He apologised, popped something in my bag, walked on.
So he did speak to you?
Well, no, only to say sorry.
Did he seem as though he was in a hurry?
He might have been. I honestly don't know.
And what about you, sir? You see anything?
Not that I can remember.
Can we go now?
Go? I haven't started yet.
But we don't know anything.
I'll be the judge of that.
I thought for a moment that copper was going to charge us.
He was only huffing and bluffing.
Bluffing? Look, I'm still shaking.
Drink your beer and shut up. Wasn't that bad? Anyway, I feel more sorry for the dead bloke than you.
Oh, thanks very much.
Well, drowned in his own bath and the contents of his flat smashed to pieces. What sort of mind does that?
A very dangerous one. And should anyone else slip us their business card without a proper intro, we'd tear it up.
Oh, don't be silly.
I'm not being silly. I'm very upset. Witnessing the end product of a furniture-smashing psycho and being interviewed by Jack Regan's understudy disturbs my karma no end. Busking the dilly in a rush hour is going to be a piece of bloody cake after this morning's experience.
I wonder who this Roger Wise was.
Is that his card?
Yeah.
I thought the fuzz man had that.
I picked it up again.
Does he know you've got it?
I don't know.
Well, I think you should phone him, you know.
Oh, don't keep on.
Well, he might think you've half-inched that card on purpose.
Well, I didn't. I just picked it up without thinking.
We don't want the police round here, do we? One sniff inside the flat and he'll have the drug squad crawling all over us.
I promise I'll phone him as soon as we get in, as long as you stop nagging.
Is that you, Mr. Spender?
Oh, no, that's all I need. Yes, Mrs. Rawlings?
I don't wish to complain.
Of course not.
But I have spoken to you about this before.
What now, Mrs. R?
Noise, Mr. Spender. Now, I don't expect you to creep around in carpet slippers.
What do you mean?
I'm talking about the noise that's been coming from your flat for the last hour.
Well, you're mistaken. It wasn't us. We've been out all morning.
I live directly underneath you. I know if noise is coming from your flat or not.
What sort of noise?
Banging and crashing. I thought somebody was having a fight up there. Quite frightened me.
It's a pity you didn't think to ring the police. There shouldn't be anyone in our flat.
Well, how am I supposed to know that?
When did the noise stop?
2 minutes ago.
Come on, Jenny.
How am I to know when to ring the police? I tried to be reasonable. You make such a lot of noise all the time. Will
the door's shut.
What did you expect?
Well, if someone's broken in, I would have preferred the door open so I could have had a gander.
You think they're still in there?
I don't know. I can't hear anything.
Shouldn't we phone the police?
I'll look first. You know what Mrs. R's like. A cat walking across the floor sounds like someone doing a clog dance to her. Anyway, I've had enough of policemen for one day.
All right, but be careful.
You just be ready to run.
Well?
Take a look.
Oh, no! For the stinking rotten bastards!
I suppose it must be an art to destroy a room as thoroughly as this.
It's a total act of vandalism. And that stupid cow sat downstairs and did nothing.
Well, we can't blame her.
Any other time she would have been up here tapping on that door. Is that you there, Mr. Spender? You're making an awful lot of noise again.
Yeah, well, perhaps it's a good thing she didn't.
What do you mean? Look at that place.
The person who might have done this might have done the same thing to her.
Oh, Bill. Why have they done this to us? What reason could there have been?
I don't know. At least I won't be able to play any more bum notes on that thing.
Are we insured?
Well, we're covered for fire and theft, but I don't know about vandalism. Though money won't replace the records.
Are they all broken?
All the 78s are. I knew I should have put them on tape.
Oh, how could you take it so calmly?
Because if I allow myself to really register what's happened, I'll probably have a nervous collapse. It's a sad sight, isn't it?
Well, it was upsetting enough to see Roger Wise's flat. It hurts even more when it's your own place.
It's funny. And when someone is good at something, their activity takes on a style all its own.
You think the same person smashed up our place?
Well, it's a bit of a bloody coincidence, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so. What could they have been looking for?
Good time?
Yeah, but they seem to have had that all right.
Well, I better call the fuzz.
You better shout very loud or by tom-tom.
What?
You are sounding on what's left of the telephone.
Oh, even that. Oh, I'll go down and use Mrs. R's.
Mr. William Spender.
What?
Police.
That was quick.
I'm Detective Inspector Burgess. This is Detective Sergeant Peters.
Sir? It was a pity you didn't arrive half an hour ago.
So I see. Any idea who might have done this?
Well, it certainly wasn't termites.
What about the same person who smashed up Roger Wise's flat?
What makes you think that?
It seems a fairly logical assumption to me.
You could be right.
Well, what were they looking for? Well, don't you know?
To say this situation is delicate is to put it mildly.
Who was this Roger Wise?
I can't tell you that, sir.
Now, why all this secrecy?
That's the delicate part. Let it suffice if I say Mr. Wise's activities were covered by the Official Secrets Act. And even telling you that contravenes the act.
Are you Special Branch?
Yes, madam.
Oh, political fuzz, that's all I need.
You'll survive.
I'm beginning to wonder, because there's no way I can accept our flat was smashed up for political reasons, not even by your lot.
Just consider yourselves as innocent bystanders.
But of what?
Something rather important.
Oh, and are you here to pick up the pieces?
Unfortunately, no. Just to ask you a few questions about your meeting with Roger Wise.
But we've just been through all this with the other policemen.
I'd like you to go over it again for me. I'm especially interested in what Mr. Wise said to you.
He didn't say anything apart from apologising for bumping into me.
Did he give you anything?
Only his card.
May I see it?
Oh, it's here somewhere.
Why did you go to his flat this morning?
Because he said he could employ us. That was what was written on his card. There you are.
An envelope, Peters.
Right, sir.
What are you doing?
I'm afraid I'll have to take this card away for forensic examination.
Help yourself.
Did he give you anything else?
No.
Only money. A £20 note.
I'll need to take that away as well.
Where'd you put it?
I've spent it.
You what?
Spent it. I can let you have the change.
No, thank you, sir.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't think it important.
Can you remember where you spent it?
Next door at the Indian takeaway last night. Well, they might still have it.
We'll check.
I'm sorry.
Tell me, if it isn't an official secret.
What?
How did the bloke who smashed up our flat find us so quickly?
He could have followed you last night.
Oh, that's what I thought, but it doesn't make sense.
Madam?
I'm assuming all this smashing up a flat has some purpose, that whoever this guy is, he is looking for something.
Sir?
Well, if he thought this Roger Wise had what he wanted, he wouldn't have left him to follow us, would he?
Perhaps there were two of them.
Oh, that's a comforting thought.
Yeah, what do we do if these blokes come back?
Keep your door securely locked and phone the police.
Oh, have you seen the state of our phone?
Oh, I wouldn't let their coming back worry you too much. I think they've satisfied themselves you haven't got what they're looking for. Give me a call if you have any more trouble.
Bye.
And thank you for nothing.
Well, I suppose that's it. Come on.
Where's who?
First to the bank to check the insurance policy and then to find a bed for the night. We can't sleep here.
About giving Jack a call. He's got plenty of room.
He's also got Linda.
Oh, she's all right.
She's a maniac.
She's unhappy. She's never forgiven Jack for abandoning journalism for the security of a tit-orientated fascist tabloid.
But that was 10 years ago.
So, she overreacted a bit.
It's a tough world, Cherub.
The bit we occupy is bloody criminal at the moment.
Well, you can stay at my place until you've sorted things out.
Thanks, Jack. How's Linda?
Like Cruella de Vil with the hangover.
Is she still at the flat?
No, thank God. Excuse me. I just had 2 weeks in Ireland. It's drained me completely.
Were you in Belfast?
No. County Wicklow. With Linda. It's supposed to be a holiday. A period of reconciliation, would you believe?
Where is she now?
She's still in Ireland. She went to see some friends in Dublin, although I think that was an excuse. She's fallen in love with the porter, you know? She spent the fortnight swilling it down by the barrelful.
Why don't you get divorced?
I don't know. I think hate must be as binding as love. We always have to have one more go. See what new depths of degradation we can reach.
You're a romantic, that's why you're such a pig.
You're right. I've grown so right-wing in my old age, even my fantasies are conventional.
Now that I can't believe.
Sorry I was so long.
Ah, God, that beer looks good. And... tastes good, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since coming back from Ireland, I've had this horrible taste in my mouth. First thing in the morning, it's really bad. It's like some sort of Eldorado for a dung beetle.
Good, you are in a mess.
Oh, careful, Jenny. Can't afford to be rude to him yet. Still need a bed for the night.
No, it's all right, that's arranged.
Jenny can say what she likes, Bill. I love her too much to take offence.
Ho, ho.
In fact, when you get tired of her, send her along to me.
And if I get tired of Bill first, can I do the same?
If we're to go on working, I've got to get hold of a guitar from somewhere.
Well, are you going to buy one?
Oh, I thought I'd try and borrow one until the insurance money comes through.
From who?
Well, that's the problem. If Benny hasn't got a spare one, I'll have to go out to Martin at Hendon.
Well, can't you ring first?
Well, neither of them are on the phone.
Well, why do we know so many poor people? All right, lead on, master. The guitar is important, and as I'm not prepared to go back to the flat alone, I'll just have to tag along.
What do you want to do about this evening?
Hmm?
Well, do we go out and entertain the public?
Shh, we'll have Mrs. Rawlings out again.
Oh, yeah. What do we try and tidy up a bit?
Well, that's easily done. All we need is a large sack and a shovel.
Well, at least we'll be able to replace most things.
Yeah, you know, it amazes me we were even insured. I mean, you're not that sort of person.
Comes from me mum. She was a great believer in insurance. Do you know, every Friday there'd be a queue of collectors on the doorstep. I was often tempted to put a red light in the hall just for the neighbour's sake.
Is that you, Mr. Spender?
Oh,
I told you to be quiet.
Yes, Mrs. Rawlings?
Now, I'm not one to complain, Mr. Spender.
Oh, no, Mrs. R.
But the police were round here earlier.
Oh? What did they want?
See you, Mr. Spender.
Who was it?
A Chief Inspector Moore. Left his card. Asked that you ring him as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Now, I want it understood that this is a respectable house. If you are involved in any hanky-panky with the law, then I shall have to ask you to leave, both of
you. It's all right, Mrs. Rawlings. We just lost our cat.
Didn't know you had a cat.
No, that's because it's been missing for some time.
Police wouldn't get a chief inspector to find a lost cat.
Oh, she was a very valuable cat. Don't worry, Mrs. R. We won't bring the house into any disrepute.
Well, I hope not.
Thank you for the message. You silly old cow.
I don't like the sound of that.
What?
The police again.
Ah, it's probably nothing more than the fact you misspelt your name when you signed your statement.
Oh, I hate getting involved with the police. I mean, I actually feel guilty and haven't even done anything.
You always feel guilty. Come the end of the day and you'll be feeling guilty about how badly you treated our lost cat.
We never had a cat.
I won't stop you feeling guilty about it.
Oh, very funny.
Ah, home at last. You two can have wall-to-wall rubble. Just phone Psychotic Harry for immediate service.
Oh, I think we should move.
To where? This is London. Even the benches on the embankment have a waiting list.
Still, I think we should look around.
The door's open.
I could have sworn I locked it.
Come in.
Who's it? What are you doing here?
Waiting for you.
Did you force the door?
No, sir. It was open.
I'm sure I locked it.
You remember Detective Sergeant Peters?
Yes. Evening.
You policemen don't liaise very well.
What do you mean?
Your colleague was round here earlier.
Our interest in this case is rather specialised. We're not involved in the criminal aspect of the investigation.
So what do you want?
Something's cropped up concerning Roger Wise's business card. In fact, it's something rather important.
What is it?
Do you know what a micro dot is?
I've a vague idea.
Well, there were two micro dots attached to Mr. Wise's card.
Well, we didn't know that.
No, you wouldn't, sir. But the problem is, one of them is missing.
How do you know there were two?
There were traces of the special adhesive used to attach the dots to the card in a second place. Now, it's likely that in the handling of the card, the second dot has become dislodged and possibly adhered itself to one of you.
You want to examine our hands?
Yes, sir. Although if it isn't on your hands, it will be necessary for both you and your clothes to be examined thoroughly.
Oh, suppose that's all right.
Your clothes we can take away for forensic examination. But the body search will have to be done here.
Why?
The dot's very small. We can't risk taking you down to the station and losing it in transit.
Oh, and who'll make this examination?
I will.
Well, you can think again. If you want to search me, I'd like it to be done by a woman. I'm not undressing for your titillation.
I have seen a naked woman before.
Then live on your memories.
What about you, sir?
Well, I don't mind. Well, I understand how Jenny feels.
What if I allow Mr. Spender to examine you?
Under your supervision?
It would have to be. He doesn't know what to look for.
Then the answer is still no. I want to be examined by a policewoman or a nurse.
What's that?
What's left of the doorbell?
It's probably one of our people.
Shall I let him in?
He can wait.
It seems they're impatient.
Check the window. Now, I'll ask you one more time. Will you submit to a search?
Not by you.
It's the law.
They'll go away.
Let's kill these two and get out of here.
I have done it.
Run, Jenny.
No, you don't.
Yes, she does. Perfect B-flat.
Quickly, upstairs. Two men trying to kill Bill.
Get there, Carter.
Right, sir.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just hurry.
Get you, Mr. Spender.
I think I've been stabbed, Jen.
Carter! No sign of them, sir. Call an ambulance and then get onto the Nick. I want this whole area sealed off.
Right, sir.
Must have gone down the fire escape.
My hero.
Oh, don't send me up, Jen.
I'm not, honestly. I'm just pleased you're all right.
You were very lucky, Sam.
Now, don't spoil his moment of triumph.
I was referring to the stabbing.
Yeah. Oh, what happened there? I saw this knife coming at me and in fact, I felt it hit me.
No, sir, it hit the remains of your guitar. If it hadn't, you'd be dead.
Bloody hell.
Fortunately for us, your assailant couldn't disentangle it. So we not only have the knife, but hopefully a good set of prints.
Do you know who they were?
Thanks to you, no. If you hadn't picked up Roger Wise's business card, I might be able to tell you a great deal more.
Well, I'm glad I did. Otherwise, you wouldn't have turned up on the doorstep and we would have been dead.
Yeah, well, we'll forget about that for the time being.
Are those goons likely to come back?
Oh, I doubt it. Although, to be on the safe side, it might not be a bad idea if you disappeared for a while.
Oh, yeah? And what if those psychos are waiting outside to follow us?
Oh, it's highly unlikely. They're probably far too busy looking for somewhere to hide themselves.
Forensic team's arrived, sir.
Thank you. Oh, That's another reason why you can't stay here. It's going to take a week to sort through this mess. Have you got somewhere to stay?
We've already arranged that.
Good. Perhaps you could let me have the address. But first, I want you to look through some mug books.
I can't go on. They're all beginning to look the same.
He's very good looking, isn't he? Whoa, so's he.
Oh, Jen, we're supposed to be looking for the men who smashed up our room and tried to murder me. These aren't photographs of available clients at some computer dating agency, you know.
And he said I thought he was attractive.
How can you find some criminal psychotic type personality attractive? I mean, the only reason he'd give you a second look is to steal your handbag.
Not that one. He looks too intelligent. I think he's an embezzler.
He's still a crook.
So, I still find you attractive in spite of the way you complete your tax form.
Oh, that's not fair.
How's it going?
Oh, well, it isn't. I can't concentrate anymore. I've started seeing triple.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm all right for a bit.
Well, I'll be grateful if you could stick at it for a while longer.
Can you arrange for something to drink?
Coffee?
Fine.
Oh, I'll get some sent in. And some sandwiches.
I prefer an aspirin salad.
Yeah. I've got something better next door if you'd like to come through, Mr. Spender. Now sit down. Whiskey.
Oh, that's hot.
Perhaps you'd like to pour me one as well.
Oh, surely.
Does Miss Marsh like ham?
Oh, I think so.
No. This is Inspector Moore. Can you send some coffee and ham sandwiches down to interview room one? Tom.
Oh, cheers.
Yes. I've just received a fingerprint report on the knife that was used on you. Fortunately, there was enough to make an ident.
And?
Is this the man who called himself Burgess?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. His real name is Simon John Walsh. One time professional soldier, till he ruined his career with a bit of GBH.
Oh, that's nice.
According to his army record, he's supposed to be quite bright. He was in line for a commission at one time.
Oh, intellectual thug, I see. I suppose now that he's lost his knife, the next time we meet, he'll try and club me to death with the collected works of Spinoza.
Oh, yeah. You won't see him again.
What about the man calling himself Peters? You know who he is?
No, not yet. That's why I want you to keep working on those mug books.
Well, can't you trace Peters through Walsh? I mean, if they work as a team...
Walsh has got one conviction for GBH. That was 10 years ago when he was in the army. He's not a regular villain. Therefore, he doesn't have any known criminal contacts. That's why it's so important we find out who Peters is.
You think he might be a proper criminal?
I hope so, because if he's got form, we shall know where to find him and the sort of people he could be working for.
And if he hasn't?
Yeah, well, we'll think again.
Chauvinistic fuzz.
You would have thought he'd have offered us a lift home, especially after all the time we spent looking at those photographs.
Well, I don't think the Chief Inspector likes us much.
He seemed to take a fancy to you, took you off and fed you whiskey.
Well, I think he came to regret his generosity.
What did you say?
Well, I sort of implied I didn't have much faith in his ability to catch Walsh and Peters.
That's my boy. Only opens his mouth to change feet.
Well, he almost said as much himself. When we couldn't identify Peters in the mug books, I think he felt the lack of faith was confirmed.
And to soothe his pride, we have to ride home on the underground.
Well, I think asking how they'd managed to escape from our house so easily didn't help much either.
Did he tell you?
Oh, yeah. Over the roof and down the fire escape on the adjoining house.
I would have thought he would have realised that.
Way and gone before the area could be sealed. And with the microdot, which is another reason we're not liked.
Oh, that's silly. Even if I hadn't picked the card up, the police wouldn't have checked it for microdots.
Yeah, but now they know what it contains, they're annoyed you walked off with it.
Yeah.
Although why I should be the one to receive all the nagging for what you did, I don't understand.
What with one thing and another, it hasn't been your day.
Oh, I'm so tired. What's the matter with Jack? He was sloshed when we got in.
I think he's missing Linda.
Well, certainly wasn't interested in what had happened to us.
He'll be all right in the morning.
Anyway, why is he missing her? He hates her. It's not natural. It's like pining for a malignant growth after you've had it cut out.
You do go on at times.
Well, that's true.
What did Martin say about his broken guitar?
Oh, don't mention it. He was very upset.
Died in a worthy cause?
At the moment, I think he wishes I'd died in its place.
Oh, we'll buy him a new one.
That's not as easy as that. He's very attached to that guitar. It's not like replacing a damaged gramophone record. Apart from that, it was quite an expensive one.
Well, we can claim for it on the insurance.
Perhaps I can get it repaired.
You must be joking. It would require an enormous act of faith for that thing ever to be whole again.
Well, then, I'll have to learn how to pray.
As long as you do it quietly, I want to go to sleep.
Just a minute.
Oh, now where are you going?
I've got something in my eye.
Oh, yeah, let me look.
Oh, careful.
Keep still, I won't hurt you.
Can you see it?
Yes. Have you got a handkerchief?
There's a box of tissues on your side.
Mm-hmm. Now then, keep still. Oh, there you are.
It's ridiculous how such a tiny speck can be so painful.
Wonder what it is?
A bit of grit, probably.
No. Look at it carefully.
What?
It's perfectly square.
So it is.
How big is a microdot, Bill?
Oh, no, Jen.
Go and see if Jack's got a magnifying glass.
That won't be any good. You need, well, a special machine to blow those things up.
Well, where would we find one?
Forget about it.
Oh, come on, Bill.
Look, Jen, if it is the dot, we could get into a lot of trouble if we don't hand it over. We've already been told off because of that card business.
I'm going to give it to the police, but first I want to find out what's on it. After what we've been through in the last 24 hours, I think we have the right to know what this is all about.
So, how do you plan to read it?
I don't know. Yet.
I think we should have got Jack to do this for us. I mean, his paper employs photographers and technicians who know all about this sort of thing.
If we'd asked him to find out what was on the dot, there would have been all sorts of questions. He might have hung on to it for days. You know what he can be like. Now, all I want is a quick look and then we'll hand it over to the police. Are we going in or not?
Oh, all right.
There are rather a lot.
Bloody hell. What do we do now?
I don't know. When I thought of using a microscope, I sort of imagined how it would be at school. You know the sort of thing. Cheap but treasured possession of the science lab, locked in its case and only to be used under the strict supervision of a teacher. I didn't realise there'd be so many different kinds.
Oh, let's go. We can't afford to buy one of these. Must cost a fortune. Probably need a degree in optics before you can learn how to use one of them.
Can I help you?
We're just looking. Thank you.
What did you have in mind?
I think something a little smaller than you've got here.
For what purpose did you want a microscope?
Well, it's for my son. He's interested in a sort of all-purpose model, if such a thing exists.
I think I can help you. We have a few small microscopes that might be suitable. What is your son's current interest?
Entomology.
Then the type I have in mind will be perfect. There are three models in this range.
Oh, what's the difference?
Simply that of magnification.
Do you mind if we have a look?
Please do. I'll just slip a sample slide in place.
Do you mind if I look at something we've brought?
Of course not. I have a blank slide here. Yes, here we are.
Yeah, it would probably be quicker if you set it up.
Certainly.
I'm afraid the specimen is a bit small. It's in this envelope somewhere. Yeah, there it is.
Oh, yes, you're right. It is small.
I'm not too small?
I don't think so. May I ask what it is?
Well, I don't really know. It's a sort of test. My son said, if I could see it in detail, the microscope would be big enough for his needs.
I see. I'm sure this instrument will prove to be more than satisfactory. These are, in fact, excellent optical microscopes. As this specimen is so small, I suggest you try the larger one first. There you are.
Thank you.
The focus control is there. And if you adjust the mirror at the bottom for maximum light.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes. Oh, very good indeed. Is it possible to have greater magnification?
Certainly. Just turn the turret. There you are.
That's perfect. Do you want to look, Bill?
What?
Do you want to look at your son's specimen?
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, of course.
Super.
How much is this one?
That one is £120.
Well, that's rather a lot of money. Look, do you mind if we discuss this? My husband might take a little persuading.
Certainly. Call me if you need anything.
I will, and thank you for your help.
Well?
I'm not your husband, and we can't afford this microscope.
Oh, shut up. What do you think of the microscope?
I don't think anything. I can't make head nor tail of it.
Can you copy what's written there? Then we won't need to buy the thing.
I suppose so, but it'll take a while.
We can take it in turns.
All right. But you fend off the assistant if she comes back.
Well?
I don't know what it means. I never was much good at maths.
Can you find out?
I could try. It looks bloody complicated.
Show it to your science correspondent.
The Haggis. He must be joking. He couldn't add two and two together even if you gave him a sack full of silicone chips.
You work for a national newspaper. There must be someone on the staff who could tell you what it means.
I'd have a sniff around, but I can't promise anything.
What about the letter heading?
Yes, I've heard of Schiller Chemicals. They've got a big factory out at Hatfield.
What do they make?
It's a pharmaceutical company. They make that happy pill, Voxodon.
Oh, yes, the pill that turns potential suicides into happy zombies.
That's the stuff. Do you know what's just occurred to me?
What?
That the late Mr. Wise might have been involved in a spot of industrial espionage.
And there could be some sort of secret formula on the microdot.
Could be. There's a lot of money on that racket.
Oh, no, I don't believe it. No, you should have seen the block of flats where he lived. It's hardly the place a successful industrial gangster would hang out by choice.
It was just a thought.
Look, I really don't think you two have been very sensible.
Why not?
Have you already forgotten that one man is dead because of this? And that yesterday we both came within a guitar's width of the same thing happening to us?
All right, but aren't you at all curious?
No, because I know what curiosity did to the cat. And that unfortunate moggy had nine lives to protect it. All I had was a guitar, and at the moment I'm fresh out of it.
Come on, Bill.
No, I'm scared, Jenny. I think we could be in great danger. And if this is a case of industrial espionage and people are prepared to kill for that gibberish, God knows who's behind it.
Bill, that had occurred to me. And that's why I'm very interested. It could be a very important story.
Well, I think you're both being bloody stupid. I'm taking this microdot to the police. And that, I hope, will be the end of this whole pathetic business.
Hang on, Bill. Now, what's got into you?
I could ask the same question of you. You're an intelligent woman, Jenny, but at the moment you're behaving like an idiot.
I haven't done anything.
Jen, I want us to take that policeman's advice and go away for a few days.
Where?
I don't care. We can even go to your parents.
Well, what about work?
We've got enough money to tide us over for a while.
Well, we can't go to my parents. You'd die a different sort of death down there.
Then we'll go somewhere else. I don't want to stay in London. And I want us out of Jack's flat.
Oh, come off it.
If we stay there, he'll egg you on over this thing. You know what he can be like? I should never have let you take that dot to the microscope showroom.
You shouldn't have let me what? I choose your words a bit more carefully, Bill. I'm not your little girl, you know.
Then stop behaving as though you are. I want us out of this flat. Now, immediately.
Big Daddy has spoken.
It's for your own good.
For my own good, eh? You should know me better than to try to play the paternalistic heavy.
All right, please yourself. But if you've got any sense, you'll go back to the flat, pack what few belongings we've got left, and be ready to leave as soon as I finish with the police.
Any more instructions?
But what I'm saying makes sense, Jen.
Shove off, Grandad!
Come on, Jen.
God, he gets up my nose at times.
Come back into the pub.
I am definitely running out of affection for that guy.
He's only being like this because he cares about you.
Oh.
Oh, he's scared, and I don't blame him.
He's treating me like a little girl.
Come and have a drink, and then I'll run you back
to
the flat.
I don't want a drink. Anyway, it's getting late. You should be back at work.
A few more minutes won't make any difference.
Oh, thanks all the same. I'd rather go home on the bus. I want to be alone for a bit.
All right.
Look, you will try and find out about Schiller Chemicals.
Oh, yes.
In spite of what Bill says, I'm still curious to know.
Alec, are you busy?
No, I'm just exercising the finger.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is important. Word has it you're a bit of a scientific genius.
Then the word is wrong. I am a complete scientific genius.
Then tell me what this means.
The trouble with modern science is that it's so complex one is forced to specialise.
You mean you don't know what it says?
My speciality is nuclear energy. A very in subject, I might add.
So you don't know what it says?
I can tell you two absolutes about that sheet of paper. The first one being, what is written there is not about nuclear energy.
And the second?
That the stain in the top right-hand corner is red wine.
Brilliant.
Now, there aren't many people you could go to in this office and be told two absolutes.
You're fantastic, Alec. Now earn a double gold star by telling me you can find out what this means.
I can try and find out what it means.
That's all I need to hear.
But even a genius needs a clue.
I can't help you. I haven't even the faintest idea what it relates to.
Then where did you get it from?
Oh, that I can't tell you at the moment, and it wouldn't help anyway.
Well, all right, I'll see what I can do for you.
You're a great person.
Aye, though.
Oh, one other thing, Alec. Hmm? Can you tell me anything over and beyond what I'll find in the Cuttings Library about Schiller Chemicals?
I doubt it.
Is there any scandal in the wind?
Not that I know of. Although I think their wonder drug is under attack in the States.
A Voxodon?
Aye.
What for?
Oh, possible side effects. But it probably isn't anything. I'm waiting for the day the Americans prove salt can give you cancer.
Right, sir. Would you like to sign your statement now?
I haven't got a pen.
There you are. You've been rather silly, haven't you?
Well, the situation isn't entirely of my making.
Withholding evidence is rather a serious offence, whether it's entirely of your making or not.
Are you going to charge me?
I don't know yet.
What do you mean?
I'd much prefer to have you out of London, right away from what's going on here.
Well, I'll be pleased to go.
But I also want Miss Marsh to go with you.
I'll try and persuade her.
You leave that to me, sir. I want a statement from her first. And if she refuses to go, I will charge the pair of you.
Well, I'll ring her.
Where will she have gone?
Well, I suppose once she's calmed down, back to the flat.
The forensic team are still at your flat. If she turns up there, I'll leave instructions for her to be brought in. You'd better phone the flat where you're staying and leave a message for her to call you.
Well, there may not be anyone at the flat.
Then you'll have a long wait, sir, because you are staying here until she comes in to make a statement.
And I'll give you a lift, darling.
What? Oh, get lost.
Now, that isn't a very nice way to reject a friendly offer.
Ah, you! No, don't! Let go! Stop it! No!
Reports. I hate them. I must read 10 million words a day. You know, I find it quite strange, the way you've been sucked into this business.
Yeah. Well, I find it terrifying. Never thought busking would be such a dangerous occupation.
How long have you been a busker?
Oh, I don't know. About 5 years.
Yeah. And you make a living?
Well, most of the time.
Wouldn't do for me. No, I find that style of life a bit too precarious. It's a bit like being an actor.
Yeah.
Never really certain there'll be a wage at the end of next week.
It's not that bad.
What'd you do before you turned to busking?
Various things. Mainly painting and decorating.
Oh, well, that's a bit more secure than what you're doing now.
Nothing secure nowadays. The number of skilled men on the dole proves that.
Well, some of us are safe. Yeah, that's one reason why I joined the police force. Reasonable pay, once you've got a bit of rank. Good pension? Yes, I'd recommend the job to anybody.
Well, profession would be a bit overcrowded if we all tried to join.
More. Yeah. Right. Well, there's not much you can do, is there? Okay, bye. The forensic team at your flat are packing it in for the night.
No sign of Jenny?
No.
I wonder where she's got to.
You'd better ring this place you're staying at again and see if she's pitched up there yet.
Take the gag off her.
Right.
But one unnecessary sound out of you, I'll cut your tongue out.
What do you want?
A friendly chat.
About what?
You? That musical friend of yours? The police? Microphotography? You know, the sort of things you discuss over any tea table.
I don't like tea.
That's unfortunate. Now, my colleague here is very upset about the way your man treated him. I mean, hitting him with a guitar is not a nice thing to do.
You tried to murder him.
That's no excuse.
Let's cut the crap and get on with it.
You see how upset he is. Show her your bruises.
Bollocks.
He's like you. He doesn't like undressing in front of strangers.
Please, tell me what you want.
First, I want to know where that bloke of yours is.
I don't know.
I thought you were inseparable.
Then you were mistaken.
All right, then. We'll talk about the micro dot.
I don't know about that either.
Now, I'm very keen to get that back.
I haven't found it.
Are you sure? Because we don't have to pretend now. We can search you as roughly and as thoroughly as we want. Now, you don't want that, do you?
No.
So you're going to tell me what's happened to it?
We didn't find it.
Did you tell the police about it?
No.
Oh, come on! Are you trying to tell me the police didn't take a statement from you after our last meeting?
We forgot to tell them in the excitement.
She forgot to tell
it's
them.
It's true!
Use a scopolamine on her. Save all this mucking about.
Do you hear what he's saying? Do you know what scopolamine is?
No.
It's a drug. They used to call it the truth drug, but that's not a very accurate description. The effect it does have is to make you very relaxed. They sometimes use it as a pre-med in hospital.
Oh, yes.
So you've heard of it?
Yeah.
Anyway, if we give you just enough, you'll be so happy, so relaxed, you'll find it very difficult not to tell us everything we want to know. And don't think you'll be able to fight it, because you won't.
It'll be a waste of a drug, because I can't tell you what I don't know.
Have it your own way. Although I should point out, I'm not very skilled at giving injections. It could be painful. The needle might break. Worse still, I may not properly clear the solution of air bubbles. You know what happens if air bubbles get into the bloodstream.
I don't, but you're going to tell me.
Oh, it's very simple. You die.
No luck?
No. Well, where could she be? She can't still be sulking.
Perhaps she's gone shopping.
Well, until this time. It's 8:30. Anyway, Jenny isn't the sort of ghost shopping. At least not the way you mean it.
Well, why not ring some of your friends? You might have gone to one of them.
I can't. Most of them aren't on the phone.
Oh, then we'll just have to wait. I wouldn't worry, sir. You know what women are like when they're upset.
I don't know what sort of women you know. But Jenny doesn't make a production out of losing her temper. We have the row, she calms down, and that's it. She doesn't slink off an eye just to drain the last bit of agony out of it.
You're a very lucky man, sir.
What if she's had an accident?
Well, that I can check. Information room, this is Chief Inspector Moore. Could you check to see if there's a road accident report on Jennifer Marsh? Oh, hang on.
What if those two bogus coppers are caught up with her?
There's no point in you sitting there panicking yourself. Those villains have got their heads well down.
Well, why should they bother? They've managed to run rings around you so far.
Needling me, he's not going to find her.
But it's true. They even managed to escape after you were supposed to have sealed off the area.
Hello. Yes. Yes, all right. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Look, you might think I'm an ineffectual establishment twit whose only function in life is to persecute middle-aged hippies like you. But you think on this. If you'd stayed out of sight, as I suggested, and if you'd informed me as soon as you found that micro dot, your lunatic girlfriend might not be missing now.
Would it have made any difference? What have you done since I brought the micro dot in? Sweet F.A. Apart from read files and chat to me.
And answer the telephone, don't forget that, sir.
Oh, yeah, well, you haven't even been on to Schiller Chemicals.
I'll tell you what's been happening since you've been here. One, the dot has been enlarged. We can now read what it says.
And what does it say?
Do you know?
Of course not, I'm not an expert.
And neither are we. But we're working on that. Two, my sergeant has been down to Schiller Chemicals this afternoon with a copy of what the dot contains. And, surprise, surprise, they don't know what it means either. But they're working on it. Three, those files I've been reading have been reports from the various teams working on your case. Four, I've had a forensic team giving your flat the fine tooth comb treatment. Now, apart from picking up the odd bit of information that might bring about an agreeable conclusion to your case, we've also established that you smoke quite a lot of grass, Mr. Spender.
Oh, super.
Yeah, super.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I wasn't going to do anything. I thought you'd been through enough in the last 48 hours. But now, I'm not so sure.
Look, I can explain about the grass.
I think you've already said enough for one evening. If I were you, I'd go back to your friend's place and stay there. If Miss Marsh turns up, tell her to get in touch with me immediately.
All right.
And just remember, if either of you give me the slightest reason for complaint, you'll be back in here smartish, and you'll be staying, and that's no idle threat. Now, on your bike.
All right, Jenny. You can go to sleep now.
Thank you. Good night.
It's a pity we didn't have this stuff to use on Wise.
Well, I thought you enjoyed giving him the water treatment.
I did. But I also like results. And what are we going to do about her now?
I'll phone in. I want instructions on everything we do. We've copped things up enough already. This is Walsh. Yes. The police have the microdon. I know. Well, isn't that a bit drastic? Oh. Well, I see. Right, if that's what you want. Hey, what about the girl? If you think that best.
What do you say?
We'd adopt the girl.
That's stupid.
He doesn't think so. Apparently she won't remember very much, and if we dump her so the police find her quickly, they're likely to think she's been on a binge.
And I'll give her a blood test and find out she's had scopolamine.
But he's a doctor. He's supposed to know about this sort of thing. I can't argue with him.
Is he annoyed about the microdot?
Surprisingly not. He'd already decided to dismantle the unit and set it up here. Apparently the customers are beginning to flock in.
Oh, that's something.
Anyway, let's get rid of her before this stuff wears off.
You are a lucky girl, aren't you?
Mm.
You're going to see your music man again. Yeah, you don't think the doc had let me break a few of her bloke's fingers, do you? That'd slow him down a bit.
Hasn't there been enough violence?
Yeah. I enjoy it.
I wish you'd stop pacing up and down like some caricature expectant father. Sit down, have a drink.
I'm not pacing, I'm looking for an ashtray.
You walked past one four times already. Over there. Look, don't worry about Jenny. She's as tough as Linda's cooking. She can look after herself.
Yeah, I know she can. But if she decides to go off anywhere, she always lets me know. That's the most worrying thing.
Well, you did have quite a row at lunchtime.
Given what's happened in the last couple of days, even you wouldn't go off without saying something.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, she knows I'd worry.
She'll turn up.
Oh, yeah, but in what state?
Now, forget about those psychos. They've probably left the country.
That's what the fuzz said.
Well, there you are. Have a drink. Relax.
But even I know that the way those two carried on, they must be a couple of highly professional gangsters. And blokes like that don't run away because there's a bit of trouble.
Yeah, but the police will get them.
I don't trust the police anymore. Look at me. I'm shaking. Have you got any grass?
Don't use the stuff. Just some whiskey.
That won't do any good. Only make me more depressed.
I think Linda's got some Foxodon somewhere.
Oh, that stuff. Everywhere I turn, I'm faced with Schiller Chemicals.
That's a big company. According to my researcher, they've cornered quite a large part of the pharmaceutical market.
And they can keep it.
He also found that Roger Wise worked for them as a microphotographer in their archive department.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
And apparently the archives places out in the country, along with some special research unit they have. The place is supposed to be guarded like a prison. Sure you want to have a drink?
No, thanks.
But we still won't know anything for certain until this microdot has been deciphered.
Well, perhaps you were right.
Well?
That it's the formula for some new wonder drug.
I've changed my mind about that.
Why?
Because if it is a formula, that would mean that the psychos who killed Wise would be working for Schiller Chemicals. But I can't see them doing things like that.
I can.
Yeah, all right. But only if it was to their advantage. And I can't see how it would be in a situation like that.
They want their formula back. It's worth a lot of money to them.
Precisely. Now, if Wise had stolen their next money spinner, there are only really two places he could sell it. To the opposition, or back to Schiller themselves, which I think is much more likely. Now, given the fact a successful drug can make hundreds of millions, they could afford to pay him anything he asked without feeling it. They'd just put his bill on the cost of research. They wouldn't need to employ a couple of assassins.
Yeah, well, someone did. And I've got a nasty feeling they got hold of Jenny.
She'll turn up.
Oh, that's what you keep saying. I'll take it. Hello? Speaking? Yeah. Where? No, where's she been taken? Right. Thanks very much for ringing. Bye.
Jenny?
The police. They found her. She's safe.
I told you.
She was found wandering down the Euston Road singing.
That's my girl. Was she drunk?
No. Stoned.
Excuse me, sister. I'm looking for Jenny Marsh.
Are you Mr. Spender?
That's right.
There's a policeman who wants to speak to you.
Oh, right. Well, where is he?
If you'd like to come into my office.
I'll see if I can find Jenny.
Right, I'll be with you in a minute. Is she all right?
She's fine.
Well, what happened to her?
I'll leave the policeman to tell you that. And I can tell you he's not very pleased with either of you.
That could be only one person.
In here.
I'm in, Mr. Spender. Thank you, sister. Sit down. This is the report on the blood test made on Miss Marsh.
Well, what was it?
Scopolamine.
Well, where would she have got that from?
Well, you tell me.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, Jenny doesn't take drugs.
Oh?
Well, she smokes a bit of grass, that's all. Well, that's nothing. She never touched the hard stuff.
As it was the first time.
Maybe, but not on scopolamine.
Might have been all she could get hold of.
I don't believe it. There's no reason why she should have taken it.
Perhaps she wanted to cheer herself up, depressed, after her argument with you.
That's just not her.
Have you spoken to her yet?
No.
She's telling quite a tale.
What?
Says she was snatched by the two bogus policemen, who then doped her up to find out whether she knew what had happened to the microdot. Do you believe that?
Well, makes sense. Scopolamine's the sort of stuff they'd use to soften her up.
You seem to know quite a bit about the drug.
Well, I just do.
Do you? Well, there's very little else she can tell me about her adventure. She says she can't even remember where she was picked up.
So you're not going to do anything about it?
Not for the time being, because I'm of the opinion that if those two heavies had got her, we would have fished her out of the Thames.
I don't know why they don't believe me. I mean, if I was going to make a story up, I'd think of something a bit more credible, wouldn't I?
I should hope so.
I was expecting to find you laid out.
Oh, sorry to disappoint you.
Look, what time did they admit you?
I can't remember. I've been asleep most of the time.
Well, I've aged 10 years in the last few hours.
That's nothing new. You age 10 years when the doorbell goes and you're not expecting anyone.
It's nice to hear that you're fully recovered, Jenny.
Well, I'm the worrying kind. I'm neurotic. If I could afford a psychiatrist, he'd confirm it for you.
Why didn't you bring me some fruit? I'm starving.
Listen to her. Where can I get fruit at 11 o'clock at night?
All right, kiddies, cool it. The woman in the next room's trying to die.
Is she? Oh, sorry.
Oh, shut up.
Why not tell Bill about the conversation you overheard?
Do you want to hear?
Tell him anyway. I want to hear it again.
Well, there's not really that much to tell. After the bloke who calls himself Burgess...
His real name's Walsh. Why does it always have to be us?
Yeah. Anyway, after he'd finished chatting me up about the microdot, he made a phone call to inquire, as far as I could make out, whether I was to be killed or not.
What?
I assume this call was to the boss man, who, by the way, is some sort of doctor. Anyway, after Walsh and Friend had recovered from the disappointment of my reprieve, they chatted on a bit about some unit and that it was going to be dismantled and set up where we were, that is, this warehouse place.
Oh, what sort of unit?
I don't know, they didn't say.
What, did you tell the police?
Oh, of course I did. They just thought it was something to spice up the tale I was telling.
Does this make any sense to you?
Yeah, I'm wondering whether it's got anything to do with the special unit at Potter's Bar.
But you said you didn't think Schiller Chemicals were involved in this thing.
Well, I still don't think they are, as such. But it's possible that something is going on there that the company doesn't know anything about. And that's what the late Mr. Wise discovered.
How much longer before we find out about the microdot?
I rang the paper.
Well, it's a bit late, isn't it?
It's a newspaper I work for, not a laundry. What time do you think we put a morning paper to bed?
Ring them now.
Is there a public phone around?
There must be. Ask the nurse.
Oh, sister. Excuse me, sister. Could you tell me, is there a payphone around?
There's one in the foyer.
Thank you.
But I'm afraid I must ask you to leave now.
Oh, come on, sister. 5 more minutes.
No, I must insist you leave now. It's very late.
Come on, Bill.
Let me know what you find out in the morning.
Visiting hours are between 3 and 4:30 and 6 and 9, without exception.
Oh, I'll ring you, Jen.
No incoming calls unless they are very urgent.
I think you and I are going to get on very well, sister.
Hello, this is Jack Holme. Could I have extension 4721, please?
If they found out what the dot contains, will you take it to the police?
You must be joking. They've got the dot. Let them do their own work.
The law said I was withholding evidence because I didn't take the thing in straight away.
That was bluff to frighten you. Anyway, you haven't got anything to do with this.
Oh, well, as long as you explain that to them.
Will you... Hello, Wally? Jack Holmes. Anything on that micro dot transcript yet? Oh, great. Well, open it. Oh, come on. What do you mean? This is very important. All right, thank you very much. I'll come in then.
Well?
There is something, but Wally's too busy to open it.
Well, why?
He's in a panic. And he always is about this time. Probably he can't work out the answers to the simple crossword.
Ah, don't look so worried.
Oh, I'm not. In fact, I've given up worrying. I'm trying to be fatalistic. Just hope that when this lot's over, the judge will be kind enough to give me concurrent sentences.
Damn.
What?
It's not the report on the microdot.
What is it?
Expenses back for further justification. Bloody new accountant. I knew he was too fly for my good. Oh, well, that's next month's beer money gone.
Is there nothing straightforward about you?
Oh, there you are.
Oh, hello, Alec.
I've been trying to get in touch with you at home for the last hour and a half.
Why, what's up?
These notes you gave me. Where did they come from?
Why?
They're a dynamite lie.
Well, what do they say?
I don't have a full report yet.
Well, why not?
Because I had to send it out to be deciphered.
Well, who's got it? I'd go round and collect it.
I don't think you'd get a very friendly welcome. Dr. Bernstein is what they call an Ellie to bed person.
Well, but so important, I don't mind disturbing his beauty sleep.
Now, it's all right, lad. I can give you the gist of what it contains.
Can you pass me that pad, Bill?
Yeah.
Right, fire away.
Have you heard of Lassa fever?
Yeah. Isn't it sometimes called green monkey's disease?
That's right. Uh-huh. And you probably also know that once infected, you stand a good chance of dying. Because, as the wretched disease is a virus, there's no effective way of treating it.
So?
Well, the notes you gave me are part of somebody's research on the disease. In fact, someone is doing a spot of genetic engineering on the virus.
Oh, is that good or bad?
In this particular case, it's rather unpleasant. According to Dr. Bernstein, someone has succeeded in making it even more virulent than it already is, so that your chances of surviving are almost nil.
But for what purpose?
What do you think?
Germ warfare?
Uh-huh.
Well, Schiller Chemicals is a pharmaceutical company. Why should they be into germ warfare?
They can't be. That is, legally. The sort of genetic engineering involved here has to be sanctioned by the Genetic Manipulation Advisory Group. Now, that's a government committee. It's highly unlikely that any geneticist outside of Porton Down would get permission to do such work.
Then what's going on?
Something highly illegal, I should think.
We've got to tell the police now.
Don't get carried away, Bill. This could be the story of the century. What else does Dr. Bernstein say?
He agrees with your friend inasmuch as that the authorities should be informed as soon as possible.
There you are.
All right, we will tell that chief inspector who's been hounding you. But I want to try and keep some control over this story. If anyone's going to tell the world about this, I want it to be me, not some police spokesman. What about this Dr. Bernstein? Will he take any action?
He's happy for us to handle it. But I'm sure he'll expect someone to do something pretty soon.
I'll speak to the editor.
You have been a couple of busy boys.
Hello, Chief Inspector.
I suppose you're Jack Hull.
That's right.
I won't say that I'm pleased to meet you.
You're not very grateful.
Should I be?
We've broken this case for you.
All you've broken is my night's sleep.
Look, there's some maniac walking around with a container full of Lassa fever. I consider that very important. Mm. Now, I'll go further. I find it bloody terrifying.
How? And what can I do about it at 4:30 in the morning?
You could at least be a bit more concerned.
Look, I just spent an hour having my ear scorched by my chief superintendent. I'm in no mood for lectures from a scribbler like you.
Scribbler? I was journalist of the year in 1975.
This is 1979. To me, you're just a has-been.
I don't believe this conversation.
Now, before we get all worked up, let me tell you this. I sent a man round to your Dr. Bernstein's flat an hour ago.
Huh?
He isn't in.
Where is he?
If he's got any sense, asleep with his girlfriend somewhere. And we can't act until we've seen his report.
Get a hold of another geneticist. He'll confirm what was on that microdot.
We're doing that, but we don't keep our own personal one on a lead in the backyard. It'll take a little time. It'll also take him a while before he can tell us exactly what the dot says. Now, by my reckoning, that'll put it at about 8:30, and that's the time I usually get into the office. In other words, all of this could have been done without involving me.
So what the hell was your editor doing saying I was the officer he wanted to deal with?
You're the officer in charge of this case?
My super knows that. If you just told him what you'd found out, he could have been in touch with me in his own sweet time.
Oh, now you're just annoyed because you've been got out of bed.
Yes, I am. Because there is nothing I can do but wait and twiddle me thumbs.
Well, what about organising a raid on Schiller Chemicals?
A raid. Obviously, licking your pencil has caused you severe brain damage. Schiller Chemicals is a very big and a very powerful company who would not take the bad publicity lightly if I turned up at their gates asking them to hand over their mad scientist unless I could show cast-iron proof of my accusation.
And in holding back, you've given this lunatic more time to escape.
If Miss Marsh overheard Walsh's conversation correctly, he isn't planning to go very far. So think on this. If my first move is a bad one, I shall lose the confidence of my superiors, and then I'll have to justify my each and every other action before being allowed to take it. When I act, I want it to be quickly without hindrance. Otherwise, he'll escape.
All right, I take your point.
Thank you.
But have you done any checking on this special unit Roger Wise worked at?
Yes, and it seems to be clean, because according to Schiller's managing director, it's a special research unit devoted entirely to a program for developing new drugs for the treatment of schizophrenia. And can you think of anything more peaceable than that?
And that was that. Then he threw us out.
You look dreadful. Have you had any sleep?
No. And after this, I don't think I'll ever sleep again. My brain has taken on a life all its own. When it isn't spinning like a gyroscope, trying to squeeze its way to freedom through my left ear.
Do you not have any idea where you were taken?
None, I'd tell you if I did.
You didn't hear any noises or see anything that might give a clue.
I was blindfolded on the journey there and asleep on the way back. But all I can tell you was that it was some sort of warehouse. A Victorian warehouse, if that's any help.
There must be dozens of those.
I'm going to discharge myself.
You stay where you are.
I feel fine and I'm not doing any good in here.
Look, you're safe. I think you should wait until the doctor says it's all right for you to leave.
Look, all I was given is what most people have before an operation. It's worn off completely.
At least see the doctor.
What are you two doing here?
Oh, hello, sister. Visiting.
I told you yesterday evening. The visiting hours were 3 until 4:30 and 6 until 9.
Well?
What do you mean, well? You've deliberately disobeyed a hospital rule. Leave at once.
No, no, no. Control your Irish temper, sister. We haven't broken any rule.
I shall phone the police if you don't leave immediately.
According to the clock over there, it's 6:45. It's not our fault if we misunderstood you when you said visiting hours were between 6 and 9. You should have remembered your AM and PM.
I'm getting tired of being thrown out of places.
I can't help it if she didn't have a sense of humour.
It won't help Jenny very much.
She'll survive.
You know, I sometimes feel that my mother was raped by a person from another planet.
Huh?
I just don't understand this world at all. I'm sure if I lived on Mars or Titan or the Crab Nebula, I'd cope much better.
I'll buy you a drink. That'll cheer you up.
Huh? It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Where can you buy a drink at this time?
We'll go over to Smithfield. The pubs are open there for the meat market.
All this activity is incredible. This is what life's about.
Have you never been up here before?
No.
Sup your beer and soak in the atmosphere while I tell you what we're going to do.
All I'm going to do today is sleep.
Oh, no, you're not. You've got all your life to sleep. I want you to come with me to Schiller Chemicals Research Unit.
Whatever for?
I want to see what's going on out there.
Well, they won't let you into that place.
Do you remember what Jenny overheard? That some sort of unit was to be dismantled. Now, there might be something to see.
And risk bumping into those psychos again? No, thank you.
Well, they won't be hanging around that place.
How do you know?
Because they know the police have the microdot, and it's just a matter of time before they turn up there.
Well, that being so, they'll have already cleared out whatever was there, so there's no point in going.
Then we'll just watch the police raid the place.
If that copper sees us again, he'll lock us up.
Look, Bill, I need a story out of this. Something a bit more than I'll get via a press handout.
Then go on your own.
I need a witness.
Then go with somebody else.
Who?
Am I your only friend?
It'll be too complicated to explain it to someone else. I really do need the story, you know. If I don't come up with something special,
My editor will castrate me.
Oh, at least the nervous women of the world will have one less to worry about.
Oh, come on, Bill.
I'm a street musician and neurotic. I have no desire to win a posthumous George Medal.
There won't be any risk. Hey, and what's more, I'll make sure you're mentioned in my article.
Hmm?
You'll be famous. Cinema queues will flock from miles around to hear you play. Please, Bill, just as one last favour. If you do this, you can stay at my flat until yours is fixed up without paying any expenses. And that includes booze. See how desperate I am.
Plus a big mention in this article of yours.
Your name and musical ability will be praised using my best superlatives.
Oh, all right.
I'm really grateful, Bill.
And I want another pint.
Save it until later. I'll buy you half a dozen pints. I want to go back to the flat and collect my camera.
You know, it's really nice to be able to climb a flight of stairs without being harassed by a neighbour.
Do you think if we tried, we could get into that special unit?
What?
If I phoned the director and said that I wanted to do a feature on the place, he might show us around.
Oh, yeah? And what if the director is the mad scientist?
Yeah, that's the point. Should have got the library to see if there was anything on him.
What's his name?
Richard Lang. Well, look, come to think of it, I'd expect the villain to have made a bolt for it by now. Perhaps I should phone, see if any of their staff hasn't turned up.
Hey, now, the agreement was we'd just go to look, nothing else. Because I'm not going in that place without a regiment of bodyguards.
All right, no need for panic. Oh, no. Oh, bloody no!
Oh.
The front door to my flat, it's open!
I'll phone the police.
If those bastards have smashed my place up...
Oh, they'll be waiting to do the same to you. I'll fetch the police.
Come on.
Those guys carry knives, and worse.
Well, I've done a bit of judo, and you've tangled with them before and got away with it. They're not that tough. Come on!
Are they in there?
Can't see. At least they haven't caused any damage yet. Look, there are some golf clubs in the hall cupboard.
Eh?
If we can get to them, we can flatten them.
I didn't know you played golf.
This is hardly the time to discuss that. As a matter of fact, I won them in a poker game. Come on! There they are. Right. Follow me. Are you ready?
No.
Oh, come on.
All right.
I'll go first. Right, you bastards!
Hello, Jack.
Jenny!
Sorry if I frightened you.
We thought you were the bogus policeman.
So I gather. It's a good thing I'm not, though. I heard you two sneaking up on me from halfway down the stairs.
You're supposed to be in the hospital.
I discharged myself. I said I would.
You really frightened me. Why did you leave the front door open?
Well, I was scared, too. I've only just got back myself. I left it open in case I had to make a bolt for it.
I need a drink.
Yeah, well, it looked much better in your hand than that stupid golf club. Huh? Where have you been?
Well, planning our next move. Well, at least Jack has.
I want to go out to the special unit to see if there's anything going on.
Well, can I come?
No, you're going back to hospital.
I'm fully recovered, and even if I wasn't, I'm not going back there. That Irish woman would kill me.
Do the police know you're out?
I didn't tell them.
Oh, I see no reason why she shouldn't come along. Probably be safer with us anyway.
Well, I don't like it.
You don't like anything.
Oh, yes, I do. A quiet life.
Have you got that film in the camera yet?
Yes.
There's a motorising unit in the bag somewhere.
Well, I've never used one of those before. I might mess things up if I try.
All right.
What lens shall I use?
55 mil, that's the one that's on. But keep the 500 handy, just in case.
Right. Smile, Bill. Oh, careful, you nearly looked happy.
I'm trying a map read.
Don't upset the navigator, otherwise we'll never get there.
Take the next left.
And straight into a traffic jam.
I thought Potter's Bar was in the country.
Yeah, it is.
We're surrounded by houses.
Well, that's your modern countryside for you. I'm convinced it's every town planner's dream to concrete over the universe.
Now stop mourning and concentrate on your map reading.
Well, I've done my bit, it's straight on from here.
What are you hoping to find at this place?
I just want to look, see what there is to see, take a few photographs.
Are you still planning to try and get inside?
I'll tell you when I get there.
Will you be able to get me in as well?
We'll see.
His press card may be able to get you into that place, but it might require a pine box to get you out again.
Oh, shut up.
Is there any way around this traffic, Bill?
Hang on. No, not that I can see.
It's a roadworks. We'll be all right once we're past it.
Did I see you gathering some food together before we left?
Oh, it was only a few apples.
Well, can I have one?
Yeah, sure.
Bill!
What?
The van on the other side of the road.
Which one?
The blue one, do you see, who's driving it?
It's Peters. The one who said he was a detective sergeant.
You sure?
You think I'd forget his face?
Quick, take a photograph. If I can get out of this traffic, we're going to follow him.
He's moving off. Hurry.
Hold on tight. Sorry, madam, but I'm afraid it was necessary.
I should have guessed they'd taken me to somewhere in Dockland.
They don't like all these empty streets. That van driver must know I'm on his tail.
Well, can't you drop back any further?
I risk losing him if I do.
Well, he ain't behaving as though he's noticed us. He hasn't tried to lose you or anything.
Could be he's just very confident.
This area's really eerie, isn't it? All those empty buildings and no people.
He's stopping. And he's expected. Look, the gates are open. And in he goes.
Well, what do we do now?
I'll go to phone in, let the paper know where I am. Then I'll call the police. I'll only be a minute.
Well, it's a big place.
It's really spooky inside.
Well, I think we'll give the conducted tour a miss this time.
All right, game time over. You, move into the driver's seat.
I can't drive.
Then you've got about 3 seconds to learn. Otherwise the music boy here will need a new cue hustler. Good girl. Now, drive towards those gates.
They're shut.
Just drive, they'll open. There you go. Now drive straight in. Seems you couldn't keep away from the old place.
I've come for another fix of scopolamine.
Makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Well, what are you going to do with us?
You'll see. At least you get a chance to meet the big man this time. He's rather annoyed with you two. You've caused him a great deal of trouble.
You realise the police know where we are?
Do they? I don't see a telephone in the car.
So what?
My colleague saw you pick him up on the Potter's Bar Road. You didn't have time to phone because you didn't have time to stop. Whereas he has two-way radio in his van. That's why I was waiting to greet you. Not your day, is it?
Well, as a matter of fact, it hasn't been for some time.
All right, pull up here and get out.
It's enormous.
It's very awe-inspiring, isn't it?
Yes, the acoustics are rather splendid.
Who are you?
You don't know.
I wouldn't have asked otherwise.
My name is Dr. Richard Lang, a former director of Schiller Chemical Special Research Unit.
What's this all about?
You really don't know.
The police know what you're up to and where you are.
I'm afraid they don't. Your friend didn't get through.
Where is he?
Dead. But save your pity for yourself, Mr. Spender. You're about to join him.
Get stuffed.
If you wish such a banal statement to be your last, so be it. Kill them.
Now, come on. You can at least tell us what this is all about.
Given the fact you're about to die, there seems little point. Get on with it, Walsh.
The police are here!
They can't be.
They're all over the place!
But how? You didn't get that reporter, ring them.
They was here already. Van loads of them. The police must have followed these two.
Pass me one of those cylinders.
Shall I kill them?
Wait.
This is the police!
I am Dr. Lang. Do you know who I am?
I do.
And are you familiar with my work?
We know what you've been up to.
Then you know what's in this cylinder.
So?
I wish to leave here unhindered. If you refuse to allow me to do so, I will open this cylinder and release the virus. Do you understand what that would mean?
I have a rough idea.
Hundreds of people will die, including yourself and your colleagues.
And you too, Dr. Lang.
I choose to die rather than to rot in prison. You have a few moments to consider my proposition.
He won't let you get away.
He has no other choice.
We're coming with you, aren't we?
Of course, I shall need you.
Why don't you give up? If they don't get you here, they'll follow you and get you somewhere else.
Be quiet. Well, have you made up your mind?
You can go on one condition.
And what's that?
You release your hostages.
Very well. But if any attempt is made to follow me, I will open the cylinder. And I am not bluffing.
No one will follow you.
Well, it seems you escape after all. Unless your policeman friend is foolish. Come along, Walsh.
He's mad as a bloody hatter.
They're letting them escape.
Shut up. Are you two all right?
Yeah, for the time being.
You can't let that scum escape.
I have no intention of doing so. Tiger leader, the marksman. Tiger leader, the marksman. Now listen carefully. Three men are leaving the warehouse. One is carrying a small black metal cylinder. Shoot to kill. Repeat. Shoot to kill. The man carrying the cylinder must die immediately. He must not be allowed to open it. Repeat, shoot to kill.
Understood.
Are your men that good?
We'll find out, won't we?
How's Jack?
He's all right, but not too bad. You'll survive. Which is more than those three have.
Oh, there he is.
Hello, Jack.
Good God, you're a welcome sight.
Hi, how are you feeling?
Oh, fine. I'm off home tomorrow.
Those bruises look nasty.
Oh, it's all superficial. Be gone in a couple of weeks. The important thing is, did you bring what I asked for?
I did, but I'm not sure I should let you have it.
I'll give it here.
If that stuff reacts against the drugs you've taken, don't blame me.
I release you from all responsibility.
Oh, how are you going to drink it?
Surreptitiously.
Well, wait until we leave before you start.
Good evening, sir.
Oh, the ubiquitous policeman. Pull up a corner of my counterpane and sit down.
I'm not stopping long. I've just come to deliver a message.
Before you say another word, I want to know what's been going on. Your man spent all day taking a statement from me, and although I pumped him like mad, he wouldn't tell me a thing.
Same with us.
Well, there's not much I can tell you.
Well, what about starting with how you managed to arrive at the warehouse doing a very good impression of the 7th Cavalry?
Ah, well, there you were very lucky. I'd left a man to keep an eye on Miss Marsh.
Why me?
Well, I thought you'd do something silly, like discharging yourself. Mm. And when you met up with these two and started to make your way towards Potter's Bar, I knew you were making for the special unit. But before my man could head you off, you'd spotted the van.
That was a good thing I did.
Well, I realised that such a determined trio could only have been diverted by something very important. So I told my man to hold back and follow. And as soon as he reported that you were heading for Dockland and remembering your story about being held in a warehouse, I was convinced you must have been following Walsh or his friend. We arrived just in time to see you driving into the warehouse and to witness the attack on Mr. Holmes.
Yeah, but why did you bring so many heavies? I mean, he even had gunmen on the roof.
Well, I didn't particularly want to take any chances. After all, nobody produces bottled Lassa fever for good and honourable reasons.
Are Schiller Chemicals involved in this?
Apparently not. As director of their special unit, Lang was a bit of a law unto himself. Management didn't interfere in his work, and neither were they too particular about how he spent his research money. All they wanted was results, which he seemed to be giving them.
So he used their facilities to produce his own filth?
Yes, that's right.
But why?
We're not 100% certain yet. We haven't had time to go through his papers properly, but we think it was being manufactured for sale to anybody who could afford to buy it.
Well, who would want such a thing?
Terrorist groups. A few canisters of that stuff would give them power way beyond their size and importance.
Was he doing it for political reasons?
Oh, I doubt it. Just for the money.
Like any other arms manufacturer?
Fortunately for us, Roger Wise must have stumbled on what Lang was up to, hence the microdots. But before he could hand it over to anybody, he was rumbled. He was probably being followed by Walsh when he decided to dump the dots on you, hoping, should he escape, to retrieve them the following morning.
Well, then why didn't he ask us to take his car to the police instead of conning us round to his flat?
What would you have done with a card with that sort of message written on it? Complied or just torn it up?
Well,
yes, exactly. The lure of work with the £20 note had precisely the effect he wanted. And unfortunately, they caught up with him before you did.
This is incredible. What a story it's going to make.
I'm afraid not, sir.
What do you mean?
From the news point of view, a D notice has been slapped on the incident.
You can't do that.
Oh, no, sir. But the Defence, Press and Broadcasting Committee can and have done so. And you know what happens if you disobey a D notice? Well, that's what I've come to tell you.
Yeah, I should have guessed there was a reason for the formal manner.
But why?
State security.
Oh, that's a creep's reply.
Yeah, it's a good thing I've taken a liking to you, because considering all things, I've put up with a fair amount of abuse. Oh,
come on, man. Stop standing on your dignity and tell us what all this is about. We know so much already.
Yes, that's right. And that's why you all have to sign the Official Secrets Act as well.
I don't believe it.
Why all the security? The man who made the stuff is dead.
All right. I'll tell you. We can't account for all the canisters that Lang produced. Therefore, we have reason to believe he might have already sold some of them. And now we've got to confirm it.
Blimey.
In fact, I'm being transferred to Special Branch to conduct the case. So now you know everything. But any of you breathe a word, it'll be a very long time before you walk the streets a free person. Understood?
Yes.
Yes,
good.
If you like, I'll give you a lift back to my office and you can sign that act now.
Can we come in tomorrow?
I think it'd be better if you came in tonight. You can do the same in the morning, sir.
Me?
Yes, sir. The doctor tells me you're to be discharged tomorrow. I'll send someone for you at about 9.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, and I'll wait for you two outside. Then don't be too long.
That's it. No story, nothing.
Can he make us sign that act?
Probably. Well, I'll ring the paper's lawyer, see what he says.
Well, it'll be a bit late for us.
God, I feel depressed.
Mm. Welcome to the club.
What a shambles. The best story of my life snatched from my grasp just like that.
Why don't you phone it in before he makes you sign the official
secret? I can't. There's a D notice on the thing. The editor wouldn't touch it. It's enough to make me want to go back to that political rag I used to work on.
You could do worse.
That's what Linda keeps saying. And she could be right.
PC-31 says we called a dirty one. Maxwell stands alone. Painting testimonial pictures, oh, 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 oh. Rose and Valerie screaming from the gallery says he must go free. The judge does not agree and he tells them so, oh, oh, oh. But as the words are leaving his lips, a noise comes from behind. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer came down on his head. Bang, bang, Maxwell's silver hammer made sure that he was dead.
Yeah.
Silver hammer man.
Would you like to give something to the musician? Well, thank you. Would you like to give something to the musician? Thank you. Would you like to give something to the musician?
In The Gene Factor by Eric Saywood, Beau was played by Terry Malloy and Jenny by Rosalind Adams. Jack Holm, Sean Barrett. Detective Chief Inspector Moore, Geoffrey Matthews. Burgess, Alexander John. Peters, Alan Devereux. Halleck, Bob Doherty. The Shop Assistant, Lisa Penny. Mrs. Rawlings, Nancy Gower. And Dr. Richard Lang, Roger Hammond. The guitarist was Terry Cartwright, and the play was produced in our Birmingham studios by Roger Pine.